Next case, Leola Somerville as administrator versus the City of Forest Park. Mr. Barbier.
Chief Justice Brown, and may it please the court. My name is Lawrence Barbier. I represent the appellants in this case, the City of Forest Park, and police officers Corey Hall and Adam Pape. I would like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal, please.
Thank you.
The issue here today is whether a denial of qualified immunity in a claim brought under 42 U.S.C. Section 1983 is immediately appealable if the, you know, the judge denies a summary judgment motion. I think that question should be answered in the affirmative, and I think it should be answered in the affirmative for 3 reasons. First, the statutory language in 2744.02c is clear that the denial of any immunity should be subject to an immediate interlocutory appeal. Second, it's consistent with the public policy of Ohio to permit such an appeal. And third, it would be the denial of a substantive right for an individual if, in fact, they are denied the right to the immediate appeal. 2744.02c was amended or added in April of 2003. And when that section was amended and added, it said, an order that denies a political subdivision or an employee of a political subdivision the benefit of an alleged immunity from liability as provided in this chapter or any other provision of the law is a final order.
So the question is, does that extend to this type of an action, a 1983 action, that any other provision of the law?
Exactly.
Is that limited to Ohio Revised Code law, or does that is that opened up more broadly?
Well, 2744.01d defines law. And it defines law as saying law means any provision of the Constitution, statutes, or rules of the United States or of the state. So I think by the clear statutory construction, law means in addition to the law of the state of Ohio, the law in the Ohio Revised Code, law of the United States Constitution, and the statutes of the United States. Now a claim under—
But Mr. Barbier, how do you respond then to Section 2744.09e, that provides expressly that the chapter doesn't apply to claims brought under federal law?
I think there's 3 ways that we respond to that, Your Honor. First, that section was passed and written in 1985. 2744.02c was passed in 2003, and I think under the rules of statutory construction in the Ohio Revised Code, the more recently passed statute controls.
But do we turn to construction rules when the statute's clear on its face?
Well, I think that it's clear on its face under 2744.01 and 2744.02c that law extends to actions that are brought under the laws of the United States Constitution and statutes under the United States Constitution. And the Ohio legislature clearly went beyond Ohio law when they passed 2744.02c and said it applies to immunity under this section or any other law. And I think the intent was, the specific intent of the legislature was, that they would extend it well beyond what was in Chapter 2744. And clearly they meant to extend it beyond what was in Ohio law.
Clearly, even though they didn't use the word federal law or something of that sort when they wrote 02C?
Well, but 2744.01 describes law and defines laws, including federal law. And they used the word law in 2744.02C.
They thought they didn't need to because of the language in 09E.
I guess that's possible, but I think that under the rules of statutory construction, you have to assume that the legislature had an intent. They used the words that they intended to use. They defined the word laws, including federal law, the federal constitution, and they said any immunity under any law, and qualified immunity is a immunity under 42 U.S.C. Section 1983, which is a statute of the United States, and the causes of action are pursuant to the United States Constitution. So I think that this legislature meant to include claims of that nature.
All right. Ms. Barbier, you said you had three ways that you were thinking you could get beyond 09E.
Right. First is the statutory construction. Second is public policy. This court in the Hubble versus Xenia case and in other cases has stated that an early determination of the issue of immunity is something that's beneficial to the citizens in the state of Ohio because it saves costs, it saves people from having to go through the trouble of a long trial if immunity is decided early. In fact, the United States Supreme Court made exactly the same pronouncement back in 1985 when they decided Mitchell versus Forsyth. And in that case, not only did the United States Supreme Court, and that was a 1983 claim, and the United States Supreme Court said, one, it's important to decide immunity at the earliest possible date. The reason for that is, one, we want to save money. You know, the taxpayers' money is at risk here. We want to save the taxpayers' money both in terms of defending the case and in terms of the immunity that it presents in terms of the indemnity or the liability. But the second reason that the United States Supreme Court gave is that here we have all these people that are, you know, volunteering or being paid very little to act in these public positions. We have township trustees, we have township council members and people like that. They're subject to going through long trials or depositions, things of that nature. One, that's very concerning for them. It takes away from their time as legislators, and it's something that will deter those people from going ahead and acting in those positions. So the United States Supreme Court back in 1985 said, listen, as a matter of law, we're going to say this, there's an immediate appeal from the denial of qualified immunity in claims pursuant to 42 U.S.C. Section 1983. That is essentially the same public rationale that this court used in Hubble versus Xenia and in other cases to say that immunity should be determined at the earliest stage possible. If you look at it from the standpoint of a practical effect, in a case like this where the claim is excessive force, if a plaintiff uses the same precise action of shooting somebody and says, well, that's assault or that's battery, that's appealable because that's a state law claim if summary judgment is denied. Unless you say that a denial of qualified immunity under 42 U.S.C. 1983 is immediately appealable, if you have a claim where someone shoots somebody and you call it excessive force, the same exact conduct is not immediately appealable.
If they brought this claim in federal court, wouldn't it have also been appealable immediately under federal law?
Yes.
The exact same statute, if they had chosen to bring it in federal court, they would have had an immediate right of appeal under federal law.
Right, and that's the anomaly here, because even if they say, and that's the argument we make on the collateral order doctrine too, the exact same conduct in federal law, the state violations and the federal violations, if there's a denial of summary judgment, are immediately appealable. The United States Supreme Court, the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, have repeatedly said this should be immediately appealable because it saves financial resources, it's an immunity from suit as well as an immunity from liability. It's extremely important that these issues be resolved as soon as possible. And in fact, in the Ohio Supreme Court, the law is that if you file a motion to dismiss on qualified immunity and that's denied, that's immediately appealable. Then you file a motion for summary judgment on qualified immunity and that's denied, that again is immediately appealable. And the United States Supreme Court has repeatedly stated the public policy considerations under federal law. So even if you were to say, well, 274409 really shouldn't apply because it's federal law, well, this court, I believe, under the collateral order doctrine, should say, yes, but it's a federal law. The United States Supreme Court has said under this federal law, the denial of qualified immunity should be immediately appealable, and therefore it is immediately appealable. I think the easiest way to resolve the tension between, in the statutory construction, between 274402 and 274409 is three things. One, I've already mentioned 274402C is more recent. Two, it's more specific. But three, I think what 274409 really means is that you don't use Chapter 2744 to grant an immunity from liability in a federal claim. Federal law has its own immunities. And the federal law under 42 U.S.C. 1983 on qualified immunity is really a different standard than the law under Chapter 2744. Under 42 U.S.C. Section 1983, the immunity is, one, was there a violation of the United States Constitution, and two, was it something that was a violation of clearly established law? Now, that's different from how you determine immunity under Chapter 2744 of the Ohio Revised Code. And I think, and that's when the when 274409 was written back in 1985, I believe that's probably what the legislature intended. They didn't want to use Ohio immunity law with respect to immunity from liability to determine whether you're liable under federal law or not. And if we allow this interlocutory appeal, we're not doing that. All we're doing is saying in Ohio, a federal case is decided. There's current concurrent jurisdictions in the two courts. All we're saying is that under Ohio law, if you bring the suit in Ohio, you get the same right to appeal as if you bring the suit in federal court. They're not saying that you have to say that the guy acted maliciously or whatever, as it would be in state court. So I think it's you can rationalize the difference. I know there's some tension there, but I think you can rationalize the difference by saying 274409 really was meant to exclude state law immunities from applying to federal law cases.
Mr. Barbier, wouldn't that require us to read 09E to add in words that the immunity in this chapter doesn't apply? Those words don't apply. It says the chapter does not apply.
Yes. And I think, Your Honor, I think—
But though, you want to read that in.
Well, no, I think what I'm saying, Your Honor, is not that you should read that in. What I'm saying is 274402C, combined with the definition of law as it is in 274401, state clearly that a claim brought under federal law, if there's a denial of immunity, that denial of immunity is immediately appealable. And I think there is tension between those statutes in 274409, and I think a reasonable way to construe both so that they're both, you know, reasonable is to say 274409 was first, this one was second, it's more specific. And what we believe the legislature really meant, or the way we're going to apply it at least, is that the immunities in 2744 will not apply to federal claims. I think that's the best way to harmonize all the statutory scheme in 2744.
Counsel, if the legislature really meant to allow the for federal claims as well, they already have an exception in E to the exception, why wouldn't the legislature just write that in there rather than leaving this a little fuzzy?
I think the legislature wrote the statute pretty much as clearly as they can. I mean, the way they wrote 2744.
They could write it a lot clearer by writing it right into E.
Well, they could have done that, yes, Your Honor. But 274402C says an order that denies a political subdivision or an employee of a political subdivision the benefit of an alleged immunity from liability as provided in this chapter or any other provision of the law. I mean, they made that as broad as they could. They didn't say in this chapter or anywhere else in the Ohio Revised Code. They didn't say in this chapter or anywhere else in Ohio law. They said, or any other provision of the law. And they had just in the previous statute, 274401.
I understand that's in there, and I understand your argument. Okay. And I also understand that E, or that section that the exemption section 09 is also pretty clear about doesn't apply in this chapter. So
okay, I understand what you're saying, Your Honor. I think I've made my argument on that, and I think the alternative is that look, if you bring this suit in federal court under 42 U.S.C. 1983, you have a right to an immediate appeal. And you have a right to an immediate appeal for the same policy reasons that this court has said in Hubble versus Xenia, there's a right to an immediate appeal under 2744. And you'll lose a substantial right if you don't get that immediate appeal because, as the United States Supreme Court and the Sixth Circuit have said repeatedly, under 1983 law, qualified immunity is an immunity from suit. It's immunity from having to go through discovery and depositions and trial. It's not just an immunity from liability. So if you don't allow the interlocutory appeal, such as the United States Supreme Court does, or the Sixth Circuit does, or all federal law does, in a 42 U.S.C. 1983 case, you're depriving the individual defendants of an immunity from suit, and that's a substantial right. And therefore, if you believe under the statutory construction that 274409 provides an exclusion, then I would suggest, Your Honor, that it would be best to adopt the collateral order doctrine, as all the federal courts have, and as the United States Supreme Court has repeatedly said, is a substantial right of individuals who are being sued under 1983. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Barbier. Mr. Mezeboff.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court, Mr. Chief Justice. 2744.09e is clear. This chapter does not apply to and shall not be construed to apply to civil claims based upon alleged violation of the Constitution or statutes of the United States. Appellant's argument is nothing less than an invitation to this Court to ignore fundamental principles of law governing separation of powers in order to thwart the obvious legislative intent set forth in 2744.09e. That provision evidences without a doubt that the legislature did not intend to extend any portion of the chapter, not just 2744.0c2, any portion of the chapter, to the resolution of claims premised upon alleged violations of the United States Constitution or of federal laws. And for that reason, 2744.02c does not apply.
And so the net effect of ruling the way you are trying to interpret the statute is that if you had brought the same action in federal court, they would have been able to appeal immediately, and if you bring it in state court, they cannot.
The answer is no, I don't believe under federal law that they would have an absolute right to an appeal. And the reason for that is because federal law interprets their collateral order doctrine differently than we might under 2744.02c. And the reason is
They wouldn't have a right to appeal this?
Not necessarily. If it's a factual dispute which determines the application of a qualified immunity, that case and that issue is not immediately appealable in federal court. But whether or not
do you have here a factual dispute?
Yes, I believe we do have a factual dispute as to whether or not Mr. Somerville was lunging towards the police officers or
so
not.
So you're saying if they went to federal court, you could defeat the immediate right of appeal by alleging you have a factual dispute?
I think we could. There's ample federal law to that proposition, that if it's an abstract question of law, yes, you have a right to an immediate interlocutory appeal. If, however,
does that same distinction exist under Ohio state statutes?
No, and that's the difference, and that's why the United States Supreme Court in the Johnson case and the Frankel Johnson case makes that very point. That case stands for this proposition: the federal right to an interlocutory appeal for an order denying summary judgment in a federal court is not binding on a non-federal forum unless the state legislature makes that the case.
So then how do you address the public policy issues of wanting to prevent all this litigation when there is, in fact, eventually immunity? How do you draw that public policy distinction between the position you're taking and the position that the state takes?
Your Honor, I can't, and respectfully, I do not believe this court can. I believe the legislature has already drawn that line. For whatever reason, right, wrong, or indifferent, they've decided that there is a different set of principles and policies that apply for state law immunities as opposed to those that apply under federal law. That's why 2744.09e exists, because they have drawn a distinction between what is federal and what is state.
Counsel, how do you reconcile your position with respect to that statute with 2744.01d, which defines the term law? I mean, that seems to be a distinction, too. If you're saying none of the chapter applies to the federal claims, and you look at D, which says law means any provision of the Constitution, statutes, or rules of the United States.
I agree. There is, and I'll call it a glitch, and I don't know what else to call it. But I think if we look at the overriding intent of the legislature as reflected by the language in this chapter, we don't have a hang-up on that glitch. And the reason is this. They specifically stated that this chapter, 2744.09e, in 2744.09e, they say this chapter does not apply. So that wipes away that That
definition is wiped away, then, you're saying.
Yes. And number two.
But even though there's a later definition date, this definition date is much later than the 1985 date of the for the statute section that you're referencing.
Well, what other point? Your Honor, I think this helps answer that question, too. 2744 also excludes 2744-07, dealing with the indemnification provision. So they spoke then when they wanted to carve out an exception, they had to carve out an exception. They said it in 2744-07
does not apply. In 1985, they said that.
Well,
but in 2003, they say, wait a second, we're going to define law as being federal and state except when in connection with the common law, this definition does not apply. So they do carve out the common law from the definition of law. And by your own admission, I would say that, you know, the term glitch with regards to what the legislature does could be referenced or interpreted to mean that there is an ambiguity here. And if there's an ambiguity, we look to the statutory construction.
Well, number one, I used the term glitch. It was awkward, but it's clear that that didn't mean to override the language of 2744-09E. When they adopted 2744-02C in 2003, why then, if that was the legislative intent, didn't they repeal 09E or clarify, as they did with respect to 2744-07,
well,
what they meant?
Well, that often happens where we have ambiguities because of the action of the legislature, and much of our decision-making here is the challenge to deal with glitches of what happens in the legislature.
Assuming that there is an ambiguity, and I believe the language is clear, but assuming that there is an ambiguity between 09E and the 02C, you can resolve that ambiguity. You can harmonize them the way the United States Supreme Court did in Frankel, and that is separate what is federal from what is state, which is clearly the obvious and overriding intent of the legislature. In other words, you can have an immediate interlocutory appeal and denials of summary judgment and when there are state court immunities. You do not have the same right when you have a federal. That is consistent with the Constitution and is also consistent with the limited powers that are granted this court with respect to what the legislature has done. The legislature has made a distinction between federal and state claims. If they wanted to do otherwise, I think they would have spelled it out more clearly, but they did not.
So we could harmonize in two different ways. We could harmonize these ambiguities in the ways you have just stated, or we could look at what your opposing counsel has said and harmonize in his proposal. I mean, the point is that there are ways to allow for all of these statutory provisions to have effect, are there not?
No. His method of trying to harmonize does not harmonize. It makes then no distinction between federal and state. There is a distinction that's apparent from 2744-09E. If you grant an interlocutory appeal, you are in effect imposing on the state system a federal system of interpreting the collateral order doctrine.
But that particular section isn't really relating to the issue of interlocutory appeal. I mean, if we look at it from your opponent's perspective, the idea is that we don't use Ohio immunity law to talk about a federal claim, which is very different. And the very specific provision, then, is found in the section relating to the interlocutory appeal.
If the legislature had intended to include federal law within the ambit of the interlocutory appeals in Ohio, they would have eliminated 2744-09E. They would just have obliterated it in 2003 when they enacted 2744-02C.
Even though the definitional section talks about federal law being included in the term law, which is then used in the interlocutory appeal section.
Well, even if they said that, it still does not change the definition of a final appealable order. Final appealable order is something which either determines an action and prevents a judgment. a denial of a qualified immunity at the summary judgment stage does not do that, does not either determine an action or prevent a judgment. It all it does is allow the plaintiff to go forward and try his case or her case in a trial court. It does not deny the benefit of an immunity to any political subdivision or any one of its officials. So it would be a complete rewording and an establishment of an entirely new definition of a final appealable order if we were to permit this to happen. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Barbier.
Yes, Your Honor.
1 minute.
Thank you, Your Honor. I have two things briefly. First, if the legislature had just obliterated 274409E, as Appellee suggested, then we would have had a situation where state law immunity would have applied to federal law claims, and that's not what the legislature wanted to do, and in fact would not have been proper. All that the state legislature wanted to do was harmonize Ohio law with federal law and allow an immediate appeal both from state law claims and 1983 claims. So it wouldn't have worked to obliterate 274409E. In addition to that, under federal law, there is an immediate right to appeal. What happens is if the appellant accepts the statement of facts of the plaintiff's version of the facts, as you do on any motion for summary judgment, then you go up on an issue of law. Under these facts, there's a legal issue. Is there immunity or not? Immunity is a question of law that then the Sixth Circuit decides or the United States Supreme Court decides on the interlocutory appeal. But the appellant who appeals immediately from the denial of immunity on a 1983 claim has to accept the plaintiff's statement of facts or in a light most favorable to the plaintiff, and then you deal specifically with an issue of law that can go up on appeal.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.